Well, this morning we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2, as we said earlier. And we're going to read it. I'm going to read it through. And as we read it, again, I would just remind you, think of dear old John. You know, probably a 90-year-old guy who's been a pastor for over 60 years. He walked with Jesus, like that great old song, "He walked with me and talked with me." And how does it go?
Told me I am his own.
Thank you. Yes. John did that with Jesus in the flesh from the beginning. And so we're not getting somebody who just thought, they just sort of sat down and thought, hey, you know what, I'm going to write a book. And wrote a bunch of stuff. He's telling us about what he personally experienced. Not only with Jesus, but through many years of being a pastor and being with people. And these are the things that he saw. And so when I hear this, you know, I'm moved by it. Like I hear it and I think, wow, you know, this guy, he's been there. So let me read it. He says, "My children, this is the final hour. You have heard that the Antichrist, the greatest enemy to his kingdom, is coming. But in fact, many Antichrists are already here. This development tells us how late it really is. A group has left us, but they were not part of our family. If they were truly our brothers and sisters, they would have remained for the duration with us. When they left, they made it ever so obvious that they were not part of us. You have been given an anointing, a special touch from the Holy One. You know the truth. I'm not writing to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. You know that no lie belongs to the truth. The liar is the one who says Jesus is not really the anointed one. This is the Antichrist, the one denying both the Father and the Son. Anyone who denies the Son does not know the Father. The one affirming the Son enjoys an intimate relationship with the Father as well. Let the good news, the story you have heard from the beginning of your journey, live in and take hold of you. If that happens and you focus on the good news, then you will always remain in a relationship with the Son and the Father. This is what He promised us, eternal life. I am also writing to warn you about those who are attempting to deceive you. You have an anointing. You received it from Him, and His anointing remains on you. You do not need any other teacher. But as His anointing instructs you in all of the essentials, all the truth uncontaminated by darkness and lies, it teaches you this: remain connected to Him. So now, my little children, live in Him, so that whenever He is revealed, we will have confidence and not have to hang our heads in shame before Him when He comes. If you know that He is just and faithful, then you also know that everyone who lives faithfully and acts justly has been born into a new life through Him." Well, deception hasn't changed a whole lot since those days. There were those people who came around and said, "You know what, I've got the secret message." And we've talked about that before, the sort of the Gnostics, those kind of people. But we have that today. I remember when I was sort of, it would have been college age-ish kind of time. The Moonies were a big thing. Do you remember them? The Unification Church. I think Sun Yun Moon just died a few little while ago, didn't he? I think, but I don't follow him, so he may have. Anyways, he would send out, I mean, they had money to send out stuff all over the place. And they sent out videos and tapes. And I remember reading one. And it was dated from way back in 1985, in fact. And Old Moon, he was writing this from jail because he had been caught for tax evasion. And so he was in jail. But he wrote this because he was a prophet. And so he had something to say. And this isn't unlike what a lot of people get caught into. He wrote this: I am making a bold declaration. Jesus did not come to die. Jesus was murdered. The crucifixion of Jesus was the result of human faithlessness. The most egregious and destructive lack of faith was to be found in John the Baptist. This means that Jesus did not come to die on the cross. That's what Moon was writing, and that's what he was sending out to people. And I don't know if you remember seeing all the kids running around handing out carnations and saffron robes and all this stuff, and they were a nuisance at the airport, and you know, I mean, just all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you remember that. I remember it quite distinctly, because I always wondered, you know, how could these people go and buy into this stuff so quickly and so easily? I mean, they were intelligent people. You know, they would get people from college campuses, people doing higher education, and they would follow this guy. So John tells us, it is the last hour, and you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. We need to understand that when John is talking about this, the last hour is the time
of this great deception.
Wow. So I think maybe we just died. So now I'll stay put. Sorry. What was that? The last hour. We know this is the last hour. That was the last hour. Oh, no, we're not even there yet. Well, you know, the thing that strikes me when you read something like that, that's such a clear denial of historic Christianity and biblical Christianity, that the atoning death of Jesus for our sins, sort of the omniscient and sovereignty of God, and ultimately the second coming. What strikes me is the ease with which so many people are deceived. Isn't it? It just, you know, you just see it and you think, whoa, how can people be deceived like that? And I think that there are two things quickly that account for this. One is the lack of grounding in the Word of God. People do not know the Word of God. People do not read their Bibles, even if they have a tough time to read their Bibles. And I think many people have tough times reading their Bibles. They don't. We get to the point that we say, oh, you know, I can never read it. So we stop and we say, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go to church and hear the pastor talk or hear somebody else talk about it. And I want to tell you, if that's the only way that you get the Word of God, we're in trouble. Because what are we, you know, 15, 20 minutes tops each week. That's not enough. I'm sorry. You need to read the Word. You need to, even if you don't understand it, you need to be reading it and then find out what it does mean. Some people have asked me, well, why do you keep reading different Bibles? You know, sometimes you read the God's translation or the New Living Translation, and now you're reading the Voice. And I have to tell you that the reason that I do it is because I need to see it and hear it in different ways all the time, because it refreshes my mind. It you know, when I know the verse that I memorized as a kid, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When you can just say it like that rote, do you actually even stop to think about what you're saying? Probably not. But when I read it in here, and there are different words and different thoughts and different ways of saying the same thing that I've always known, it makes me think. It makes me consider. It renews what God's Word has to say to me. And so, I think that one of the great challenges and one of the great difficulties is that there is people just don't know God's word. The other thing is that there's a lack of life in the spirit. There's no theological depth. There's no vital experience of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And when that happens, I believe that we're just sitting ducks waiting for some deception to come along. In 1 John here, we need, and John tells us, he's writing to situations that are like ours today. There's all sorts of deceptions. And even today, the deceptions are very subtle. Commercialism is one of the great gods in our world. And we don't think of it even as a god that we worship and as an idol in our world. And so we head off to, you know, Amazon.com, or we head off to the mall, and buying things becomes our god. And we get caught up in that. We don't think that's a big deal. But it really is, because we're putting our trust in something other than God and His faithfulness. The Word of God and the Spirit of God in our lives are really the only hope for stability in a world that's filled with antichrists. So, we are in the last hour of deception. Verse 18 begins, "My children, this is the final hour." I'm not one of those people that advocate we go sit on a hillside because this is the last hour. You know, I mean, you had people do that at 2000K. You have people that do that. Is the Mayan calendar still going to happen this year, or did that all end last year? In which? Oh, it's gone to April the 1st. Thank you. Yes, yes. And we'll all celebrate that wisely together. Thank you, Carolyn. So, you have to remember that John wrote that this was the last hour 2,000 years ago. And so you have to say, okay, so was John really wrong? Or why would he write something like that? And the point is that he's talking about that we've entered the period of the last days. We've gone through a period of the covenant of the Old Testament of creation, the fall, the prophets, and now we've entered the period and the time of sort of the last days, and only God knows how long those days will last. Remember, I mean, in Acts 2 we read, this is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Okay, so that's one indication. In 1 Corinthians 10, we read, "All these things happened for a reason, to sound a warning. They were written down and passed down to teach us. They were meant especially for us because the beginning of the end is happening in our time." Hebrews 1:1, "Long ago, at a different time in various ways, God's voice came to our ancestors through the Hebrew prophets, but in these last days it has come to us through His Son, the one who has been given dominion over all things and through whom all worlds were made." And a final one in 1 Peter 1, "God determined to send Him before the world began. But He came into the world in these last days for your sake." And so it's sort of a broad spectrum kind of time. And it's not last days like the last days of this week. It's the last days as a period. There's an increasing activity of the spirit of Antichrist. And one of the main characteristics of the last hour is that there is this increase. John points out that there's other characteristics. And he said, "And you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. The last hour, the last days, is an hour in which the spirit of the Antichrist will be increasing activity." He sort of refers us back to Matthew, where Jesus said, "For many will come in my name, claiming that they are the anointed one. and many poor souls will be taken in. False liberators and false prophets will appear, and they will make and they will know a few tricks. They will perform great miracles, and they will make great promises. If it were possible, they would even deceive God's elect. So John saw evidences of the last days, not only in the victorious spread of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit in people's lives, but also in the multiplication of false prophets and false deceivers. John saw that it was a sign of the end of the last days. And we need to be alert to that as well. We live also in this last hour, last days of deception. Well, John's view of the end times seems to be not just that there was going to be a great singular Antichrist, but the spirit of the Antichrist was going to be in the world. The spirit in the Antichrist does whatever it can to diminish Christ and substitute other views or other persons for the true Son of God. Have you ever run into that? You ever run into people? This is really a subtle one. Other people say, well, yeah, I'm very spiritual, but I don't think it's all about Jesus. Oh, I'm very spiritual, but I don't want to follow that. They're living simply in the spirit of the Antichrist, because that's what the Antichrist does. And I forgot to move this ahead. So the deception continues. You know, you go to work and everybody's talking about how they're such spiritual people and they do spiritual things, but their spiritual thing is what Oprah's doing this week or what somebody else is doing. And I want to tell you that if somebody is leading you away from Jesus, if somebody is telling you that there's someone, something, some person other than Jesus, who is the anointed Son of God, who is the Messiah, who is the Christ, they are living and dealing with you in the spirit of the Antichrist. It always amazes me. It always amazes me that people who find themselves getting into bad situations, their marriage is falling apart. Who do they go to talk to? Well, there's this thing called separation glorification that goes on. You know, people whose lives have fallen apart and all of a sudden they become counselors for other people to tell them, oh man, I've never had it so good now that I've gotten rid of that person. And I'm enjoying my single life so much. You know, I can go out on Friday nights. I don't have to worry about things. I don't have to worry about what they're thinking, what they're doing. And they set themselves up as sort of little counselors in our world. And I want to tell you that they are living with the spirit of Antichrist, because lots of people who are struggling in their marriage go and sit down and talk to somebody who's been through some kind of nasty event, and they get counseled that they ought to do that too. Boy, you'll never be happier than when you get rid of that guy or that girl. And that's a crisis. And that's the spirit of Antichrist. And you have to ask yourself, well, why would I even go to somebody who would counsel me that they don't know the first thing about God's word? They don't have the spirit of God within them. And I take and I listen to them as if they're a counselor for my life and for good living. It just doesn't make sense. While we live in that age, the second thing about this is that the Word of God and the Spirit of God protect us from deception, and they lead us into eternal life. While knowing the truth, it's a gift of the Spirit of God. We read in this passage that John writes, and John wrote to us, that we've been anointed. I want to point out that he uses, when he says that, he's using a plural term. You have been anointed. Now, he's not just talking about some person, some guy or woman who has got the special information and they're the dispenser. It's not that some person is just anointed. You are anointed. We are anointed. Each one of us are anointed by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit comes and dwells within us and leads us and guides us and helps us understand God's Word. He says, you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you know. You received it from Him, and His anointing remains on you. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you and remind you that you have been anointed. You know, sometimes you watch TV and you see some preacher on TV from somewhere, you know, and inevitably, you know, there's sort of the caricature, you know, some big guy sweating, he's got a hanky and he keeps wiping his brow because he sort of leaves you with the indication that he's got such a passion for it. The only reason that he does that is he's in such bad shape that he, you know, he might not make it. But he seems to work with the kind of leave people with the impression that he really has received the anointing. And if you really want to know what God has to say to you about life, you better listen to him. And I want to tell you that you better turn that TV off, because that guy is just loaded. And he's got the wrong information for you. Each one of us have been anointed. Each one of us can learn. I mean, we see that all the time. You just look back over history and you see all the people that think that they've had the special truth. You know, you think of Mary Baker Eddy. You think of Charles Russell, Joseph Smith, Jimmy Jones, Sun Moon. All these people think that they had the word from God and that they were the anointed ones. And they forgot to read the scripture where John tells us, you, all of you, every one of you have been anointed. And every one of you could stand up here, maybe with more fear and trepidation than you want, and talk about how God has touched your life. You know, if you're a follower of Jesus, because you have been anointed. And that we need to believe that. We need to believe that with our whole hearts. The last thing. We need to simply let the Word abide in us, and we should abide in the Spirit. We read, this is a theme in the whole Bible, of letting God's Word abide in us and with us, and abiding in the Spirit. Hear what Paul said. He wrote in Colossians, let the Word of the Anointed One richly inhabit your lives. With all wisdom, teach, counsel, and instruct one another. Sing the psalms. Compose hymns and songs inspired by the Spirit, and keep on singing. Sing to God from hearts full and spilling over with thankfulness. We need to allow God's Spirit to do that in our lives and in our hearts. We can't be people who sort of wander around, oh man, I am a Christian. I can't do anything. I can't even enjoy life. You know, I've run into people like that, and I sort of think, oh man, you know, that's nothing of the faith that I've understood. Paul also wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, instead, let God fill you with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Spirit, you are empowered to speak to each other in the soulful words of pious songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, to sing and make music with your hearts attuned to God, and to give thanks to God and the Father every day through the name of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed, for all he has done. Let the Word dwell in you. Let the Word abide in you. Be filled with the Spirit and abide in the Spirit. My prayer for us today is that we will recognize that we are in the last days. Whatever that means, whatever that happens, God only knows when that will end. But the fact is that there are those out there in our world who would deceive you. There are those, put it, bring it home, there are those out there in our world who would deceive our children. They want to take your children and they want them to do their bidding. And we sort of laugh at that and we think, oh, that's just possibly not true. But we need to recognize that, do you realize there are more slaves today in our world than there's ever been? And a great number of those are child slaves. People are wanting to take and abuse others and use them. There is more deception present today than there's ever been. And we as a church family need to be serious about confronting that, about dealing with that, about enabling our children, enabling one another to stand up to the things that would destroy their lives, families and homes. So I challenge you today, be filled with the Spirit and let the Word abide in you. Father, thank you for the fact that you love us so much, that you care about our lives. Thank you so much, Father, that you don't want us to be people who are deceived, who find ourselves getting tripped up and fooled by the things of this world. Lord, we want to love you. We do love you. We want to serve you. And so give us the strength to be your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.